So again, if you're at Jonah 3 and 4, we'll go there. During this service, we're going to continue to lead prayer meetings, and I'm going to continue to say why we do prayer meetings. I'm going to continue to encourage you to do prayer meetings. So if you want to check out for the next 10 minutes, don't. All right, but here's what we got going. The first is that we're praying, asking, and having God. We want a move of God in this generation. So that specifically means God doing the things that God has historically done. We'll show that. And then the second is that we don't want it to be impersonal. We don't want it to be something that you don't know about. We want it to be something that you see happen with your friends, happen in your life. So your story is that I've seen God do these things, all right? So when we pray, that's going to fuel us to go accomplish the mission of God, all right? So we go on mission for God because we're praying, and we just get filled up with that. And then that mission of God is going to cause us to pray more, which is going to cause us to go out more, which is going to cause us to pray more. So this is going to be this continual building thing that happens in and through us, all right? So I'm going to define that turn up thing every time because it is like volume, but it's to be overly excited or enthusiastic about something. And so even today, it's an easy analogy for me today to say the National Football League is back today. There are a lot of people who are overly excited and enthusiastic about that thing, right? There's a lot of Chiefs fans who are feeling really good right now. They haven't won yet. They haven't lost yet. So everything's good in Chiefland. About 8 o'clock tonight, it's not going to be so good, right? It's going to be because they let one backup quarterback go to inherit another backup quarterback and then brought a coach from a state that he's never won at before to bring him to the Midwest because everybody knows the Midwest is for winners, all right? So all of those things happen. So if you were to ask people about football, today's a day where people are like, about football, right? Some people have their chest already painted underneath because they're ready to go when they get home. So that's being excited or enthusiastic about something. And so what we're saying is if that's true of football, then that should be true of Jesus because he's far greater than football. He's far greater than all of that. So we want us to, as we pray and as we ask God to just have that little internal thing of our heart just start to turn its way up. So when we say move of God, we say, man, as we pray more, it's going to cause us to worship more. It's going to cause us to engage the planet on mission more, which is going to cause more people to respond and be saved. It's going to cause more miracles to happen. And that is the move of God in this generation that we're talking about. So I'm saying for you, I want to see you pray more. I want to see you worship more. I want to see you be on mission more. I want to see you lead more people to Jesus. I want to see you pray for more people that they would be healed and to see miracles. And I want to see you experience the move of God in this generation that we're talking about. So when we pray, when we do prayer meetings, we do it like this, and I'm going to come at it every time the same way. We pray the Bible, all right? So that's going to be that way. The only sermon or explanation is going to happen here in the next couple minutes, and that'll be by me. Otherwise, we just get up here and we read a verse and say, here's what the verse said. And then we pray the verse that we just read, right? We do it baseball style in that this mic is ready to go. So then as you start feeling your verse that you're able to come up here, grab the mic, get aggressive. All right. Now, what started to happen over the last couple of weeks is that as even some of the sixth graders have come in, everybody's kind of started to get their rhythm. What happens is I'll pray and then everybody kind of looks around to see who's going to do it, right? And then Sarah McKenzie's like, for the love, no one's praying again. I'll go up there, right? And so she comes up here, grabs a mic, starts praying, and everybody's like, oh, Sarah did such a good job, yay. And then we're just all kind of looking around. What I'm saying is you already know what's going on if you've been around here for a while. And I know that the mic can be intimidating, right? I know that there's like this part of, am I holding the microphone, right? I get that. All you got to do is realize everybody is nervous holding a microphone. I'm nervous right now, right? Because you're all looking at me. That's not awkward. That there's no time in history where that does not cease being awkward, all right? So just embrace it, right? And then as you start to go, I'm nervous, just internally say fuego, all right? And then you'll feel good. Go for it, all right? So you'll come up here, read the verse. We rip it as we pray. So that means you just go and just start getting after it, praying it, and then we're all together going to agree with you, right? So the person who you can example is my man Phil, right? Because he's got a deep voice. He's loud, love it, right? So what happens when you're praying? Man, if Phil is feeling what you're saying, he'll be like, good word, right? I can't even get as deep as he gets, right? So he'll be like, he won't ever say that, but I will. So he'll have these moments where he's just encouraging. Why? Because we're creating a culture in which we are together praying, together listening, together agreeing, and that agreement and that prayer is what's going to cause us all to be able to go forward, all right? So there should not be silence after somebody prays. There shouldn't be that. Something's running, right? You have that moment where you go, all right, I heard that, and then you just go, for me, I'll burn a hole right here. I'm just going to be pacing back and forth. You'll see me. I got some new shoes I got to break in. They hurt a little bit right now, but I got a sweet deal at Dillard's. Check them. Pow. Okay, so I'm walking about the other last Sunday when I preached, the bottom of my shoe fell off after the end of it, which is just a good sign of preaching. So I was like, okay, Rachel, time to upgrade. Side trail, bring it back. Okay, so when we're up here, it's just going back and forth. And you'll just hear me saying, yes, Lord, do that, Lord. Please, Lord, would you do that for us, Lord? God, you're awesome. God, you're great. God, you're holy. God, you're wonderful. And all I'm doing is just agreeing with you. I'm saying amen without saying amen. Right, so it's just me going like, oh, come on, Jesus. And so like when we start praying for lost people, I'm going to be like, oh, Lord, would you get, oh, come on, somebody. And I'll just start feeling that in my soul. So as you're here, your participation when you're not praying should not be. Right, we're actively dialed in and engaged. And then the other side of it is you'll see some people giving pep talks, right? We've gotten a couple people who have nominated themselves to be personal. I'm going to get you praying today. People, love that, right? Love that, right? My man Ivor and Tanner in the front, already encouraging each other. They're looking at you, some of you dudes, all right? So they're going to be coming after you to say, here, let's start praying, let's start going, let's start working. And when that happens, we all are just going to start to create a culture of we are praying together, and you're going to learn to pray in here. So if you get up here and you start saying something wrong, who cares? Just go, whoops, and then say it back, right? Like I've said so many stupid things into this. You're going to have a long way to go before you ever catch up, right? Like, I've got you beat in stupidity that's come out of my mouth here, and I've said real cuss words in here, not just the Christian ones, so I've definitely got you beat, all right? It wasn't on purpose. It was a mistake, all right? So those things being true, there is opportunity for you to both grow and to learn, and if you're going to just fail, right, you get up here and just walk away, right? There's opportunity for that too, because that's happened up here by me also. Okay, so I'm pushing everybody to start a prayer meeting on your campus. Five ways to do it. I'm going to run through them fast. Start it, own it, enjoy it, pray the Bible, bring worship. Pow, done. Okay, so that's all you got to do. Start it, own it, enjoy it, pray the Bible, bring worship, right? So even Casey's starting one up at NCA this week on Fridays. Pow. Holler at her, say, what's the deal with the prayer meeting I heard you start? All you got to do is jump in. She's already embarrassed, but this is what she gets for getting credit by me. Okay, so here we go. Let's start up today. Mark 16:15 says this. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to tell the whole creation. So go to this location and call out to them, proclaim to them, preach to them. Jonah 1:1-3 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the people of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to go down into it and go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So the Bible is emphatic to say Jonah is going to Tarshish, not to Nineveh. Okay, so God said, go to Nineveh. He's going to Tarshish. Now, most people know the story of Jonah and the Bible. So if you don't, here's how it goes. Jonah tries to go to Tarshish. God causes a big storm to happen. While Jonah is on the way to Tarshish, this storm happens. All the guys are going, why is this storm happening? Why is this storm happening? Jonah finally says, the storm happened because of me. Throw me overboard. He gets thrown overboard. He's starting to tread water a little bit. And then a big fish swallows him. Most people equate that to a whale, right? Because it's been presented. What kind of big fish do you know of? Whales, right? So then there's all kind of random whales, eats it. A couple years ago, we did a series called Rebellion, Whale and Rebellion. And then Caleb made this really sweet video of the Twitter whale eating a person and spitting him up on land. Okay, so as this happens, Jonah is sitting in the belly of the beast, which is a good place to say, I probably should have listened to Jesus, right? You're sitting in what a whale has already eaten and digested, including yourself. And you're just hanging out in what would be the whale's spaghetti dinner from last night. And while you're there, the Lord starts speaking to you. You probably smell terrible, right? You probably smell like you want to throw up. So then when the Lord calls to him, he's like, I repent, forgive me. The whale drives him up to the beach, pukes him out onto the beach, which is awful, right? Like you weren't just like, and you got to crawl out. The whale was like, and then just cat hairballed you onto the beach, right? So he wipes himself off. Let's pick it up, Jonah 3:1. All right, it's on page 659. All right, so Jonah 3, verse 1, and we're going to go to the end. Bum, 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 bum. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Okay, so we'll pause. God saved them because they repented. God saved them because someone preached to them. God saved them because when they heard the things that were coming, they said, let's just repent and believe that God will save. God saved because of that. Here's where Jonah comes in again. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what became of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant, and it made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. Now that is a beast of a worm, right? A shade plant just got attacked by a worm, and the worm just like caused the shade plant to die. Bum, bum, bum. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which it came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle. Okay, so here's Jonah. Jonah is the prototypical example of someone that when they hear from God does not do what God says. Okay, Jonah exists in the Bible because Jonah never really comes back around, right? Like most of the prophets of the scriptures hear from God, say, woe is me, who's going to go for us, who shall I send, send me, Lord, and they're all going out on behalf of God, if even having really terrible lives doing it. Jonah hears from God and says, I don't want to do that, goes and hops a boat, takes the boat out with a bunch of pirates who don't do anything. And when they go their way towards Tarshish, they're sailing and sailing and sailing, gets out, gets eaten by a whale, but doesn't get chewed, right? Like, Finding Nemo style, sitting in the belly. And then as they're there, there's no dory. It's just him, right? Hoping to get out. And then in the midst of that, right, there's no Geppetto. This isn't Pinocchio style. He's just in it. And then as he's in it, repents, vomited on the shore, walks up to Nineveh. It says that it's 3 days' journey from one side to the other. So you'll walk for three straight days to get from one side of Nineveh to the other. So Jonah goes in, preaches what God tells him to do. The whole city of Nineveh goes, we are going to repent because of the message we just heard. We're going to stop throwing fish at people or smacking people in the face with fish. I'm trying to connect the VeggieTales as much as I know. All right, so they're doing that thing. And then as they come out of that, everybody repents. And then Jonah leaves the city upset. He's mad because people repented and God didn't destroy the city. So he goes to the top of the cliff and watches to see what would become of the city. It's the Bible's way of saying Jonah was waiting for God to destroy them. Like, yay, you repented. Yay, you're saved. I still destroyed you. So that Jonah could be like, fist pump kid, right? So that happens. And so as he's waiting and as he's on there, he's just waiting for God to do it. And so God gives him an illustration. And so as he's there, he causes this plant to come up, and Jonah's like, yes, shade. right? So he's hanging out. He's probably sipping on some lemonade, just like, sooner or later, this city's going to burn, right? And as he's sitting at night, some crazy worm comes up, eats it. It falls down, withers, and dies. And then he's sitting there going, oh, no, the plant. And then there's a scorching east wind, right? So not only is it really hot outside, but it's so hot, even the air feels hot. Like, I don't know if you've been around that kind of hot, but there's such a heat that when the wind blows, it feels hotter. You're like, oh, this is not refreshing. It is scorching, right? So that's where Jonah's at. So he's like, ooh, cool breeze. No, hot breeze, right? So most of the time here, you'll be like, oh, that's so nice, right? The wind is so refreshing. And Jonah was like, I hate my life. And so he's sitting there angry and upset and just mad about things. And God says, do you have the right to be angry? And he's like, I do. I'm so angry, I want to die, right? Like, I don't know how you felt about plants before. But my response to a plant dying that happens a lot at my house, my response to a plant dying is not, oh, I just want to die, like the plant. Like, there's certain things that, like, you could feel that way, and you may feel internally like, I just want to die right now. And that's where Jonah's at. And so God asks him again, do you have the right to be angry? Yes, I do, right? And then what's God's response? You're angry over a plant. Like, the plant just happened yesterday, right? This wasn't a plant that's been there forever. This isn't a big redwood tree that got cut down. This plant just went and covered you for a night. And the next day it was gone. And you're like, no, the plant. And God's like, why wouldn't I feel even more for this city of Nineveh that's got 120,000 people in it plus cattle, right? Like, God's concerned about cows. Right? And not Chick-fil-A style, but he is concerned about cows. And so as he's saying that, why wouldn't I do that? And then that's the end, right? The book of Jonah ends. So we don't know what Jonah did. We don't know if he responded and was like, you're right, Lord. We don't know if he just threw himself off of the cliff and said, I'll never win with you. Well, we don't know what happens. But here's the long connection about, right? I read Mark on purpose in the beginning because it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Jonah's call was, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. So what I'm asking you is, are you Jonah? Because if we're to go into the world and preach, are you going into the world and preaching? Now, we can say all kinds of things about why we aren't. We can give all kinds of reasons about why we're not doing that. And I'm telling you, your excuse may be completely valid, right? Like, it may be a really, really good one. It does not change the fact that God has said to you, go into the world and preach, right? He gave no age disclaimer, right? He didn't say, hey, go into the world when you're 18 and preach. He didn't say, go into the world after you've learned how to talk in front of people and preach. He didn't say, once you get all the right tools and really cool cards, go into the world and preach. He didn't say, when you develop a really awesome relationship with somebody and then you have an opportunity, go into the world and preach. God said, go into the world and preach, right? So what I'm saying for you is, if you're not going into the world and preaching, and you call yourself a lover of Jesus, I'm putting you in the same category as Jonah. Now, you may not be running to Tarshish. You may not be getting swallowed up by a big fish. But in the same way, your heart is the same as Jonah's. Because you heard something God asked you to do, and you're not doing it. God clearly says, do this, and you're not doing it. And so I'm just saying, like, for me, one of the things that God has clearly compelled me on recently is my job as a preacher is not limited to this room. My job as a preacher is not limited to what I do here on the stage or on the floor. My job as a preacher is everywhere, right? And one of the great things about this 30 days of Bible is when you carry a Bible around with you everywhere, even in this little Bible Belt Midwest place, people are going to be confused as to why you're carrying a Bible. Right, that though everybody in this town like loves Jesus and no one doesn't know a Christian, that everybody here believes, false. But even when you do that and you walk around with one, people are going to be like, hey, what's the deal with the Bible? Like, and even from people I didn't expect it from, they'd say, what are you carrying the Bible around for? Right? Don't you use YouVersion? What do you need an actual Bible for? Right? So, but just carrying it around. And in that way, every day that I've given myself a chance, and Friday and Saturday I didn't really have a chance to, but Sunday through Thursday, every day I've had a Bible-inspired conversation about Jesus with somebody because I'm carrying it, right? So the easiest way for you to start preaching is just to start walking around with this mamma jam, right? Like, I'm not saying you need to get yourself a necklace and this is your new bling,
right? You're just hanging it from your chest and way like, what's up, right? You can even tuck it in side saddle, right? It's a nice man purse, right? At least mine is, it's gigantic. So just tuck it in and go. We're at Target. We're doing random things. So when you get that, I'm guaranteeing you're going to get opportunities. But if opportunities don't exist, it's our responsibility to make them, because we're to go into the world and preach. So in order to go into the world, you literally have to go into it. Like you have to walk into a place in which people don't know Jesus and preach Jesus, right? So you can't go into the world and proclaim with all of your friends who know Jesus, right? Like, so if Caleb, Tim, and I get together, right, I'm not going into the world and proclaiming because we're sitting at Five Guys eating hamburgers together. That's not happening. In order for me to do so, I have to walk down the street to my neighbor's house, right? I have to go next door to my neighbors. I have to find people at the gas station. I have to see random folks, right? And so what's happened to me is, as I've read Mark and as I've read all this stuff about God wanting to save everyone, I just feel this unction all the time that if someone gives me prolonged eye contact, it's go time, right? So we'll be passing, we'll talking, we're hanging out, and I'll just wait and see. Be like, it's on, right? Now, that's not me like, what up, girl? That's not that. It's not that look, all right? So it's one Mississippi, two Mississippi, you're mine, sucker. And I'm on right now. Is everybody going to believe? No. Not everybody who hears me preach is going to go, I'm in. But here's what I could tell you. More people have already because I am than when I wasn't. So you have to go into the world and preach if you love Jesus. You have to, right? It's not a, if you'd like to go into the world and preach. If you're gifted, go into the world and preach. If you're feeling especially aggressive that day, go into the world and preach. If you love Jesus, you are a preacher of Jesus who's to go into the world and preach. So I know most of you have grown up in church a whole lot of your life. Guess what? You're qualified. Right? I know some of you haven't grown up in church your whole life, but you love Jesus a lot. You're qualified. So if you have that like, huh, I'm nervous. Name somebody who doesn't get nervous talking to strangers. Hey, yo, what's up, stranger? No, I don't know a person. But you have to. Otherwise, you're Jonah. And I don't know a person who wants to be Jonah. Like, I don't know a person who wants to live in active rebellion to the thing that God asked them to do. That's not one of my desires in life, is not to hear from God and say, not doing it. That doesn't typically go well for every person who's ever done that. So what I'm saying to you is, every week, you're going to hear me say this, you have to be a preacher. You have to be. And if your soul is so fueled on, I am a preacher, I am a preacher, I am a preacher, I am a preacher, God wants to save everyone, God wants to save everyone, God wants to save everyone, God wants to save everyone. You're not just waiting to see, all right, what's going to happen? You're like, give me an opportunity, Lord. Give me one. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Right? It's just that attitude. And so what I'm telling you is, this room looks this way and we all look similar because we are not preachers. This room looks the way it does. We all have the same disposition. We all use the same language. Nobody's confused because we aren't preachers. So I can't come to your school and preach. It's illegal. But you can go to your school and preach all you want to. You can stand up in your cafeteria and go, 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 and then get everybody's attention and just start ripping it. Now, people may clap for you in the beginning and may go like, oh, here we go again. You know, that may happen, but you are a preacher if you love Jesus. And here's what I'll say. If you don't talk about Jesus, I don't know if you really love him. Because I can't help myself but talk about my wife. I can't help myself to talk about my kids. And you can't help yourself to talk about the things you already love, be it a video game, a football team, some random music CD you just heard, this great video you saw on YouTube. You're already a preacher of the things you love. So if you're not preaching Jesus, I don't think you love him. And there should be that little moment where you go in your heart and ask, do you love Jesus? And if in your soul you start to feel, yes, I do, then just whisper to your soul, fuego, and you'll start preaching, I promise.
And you may not know everything to say, right? And I'll admit this. Wednesday night, I felt like was one of the worst sermons I preached in a long time. Worst, right? I felt like it was terrible. But here's what I could tell you. A bunch of people came up to me and was like, Justin, that was awesome. And I've told a bunch of them. I was like, you're kidding, right? And they're like, no, that was really great. I love this. And I love this. And I was like, thank you. And I went home to Rachel and I was like, Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness, because that was the most awful sermon I feel like I've preached in a long time. And people were like, get that, Justin. What just happened? Jesus doesn't need me to nail it for him. He doesn't need me to be perfect. He doesn't need me to be awesome. He just needs me to tell about how awesome he is. And he'll take care of all of the rest. Oh, so if there should be men, your soul right now should be like, turn up right now, soul. Turn it up. Okay, so here's this morning. Caleb and Sierra are going to come upstairs to the house of the Lord, and they're going to get ready to lead. All right, so here's what we got. We're going to have some worship, right? We're just going to open it up and just get aggressive about Jesus, right? Then we're going to start lifting up the name of God. If you want to cheat and know what I'm doing, I'm taking book 5 of Psalms. It starts at 107, and we're just going to walk out all of the Psalms from 107 to the end, because they're all about how awesome Jesus is. So we're going to walk them out. So I can tell you what next week is going to be, 109. All right, then we're going to do a song. Then we'll come back and do the 1 Timothy 2, 1-6, praying for the lost. We're going to sing a song, and then we're just going to get after Jonah 3 and Jonah 4. All right, and we're just going to pray. God wants to save, God wants to save, God wants to save, God wants to save. Turn it up, Jesus. All right? So if you want to stand to your feet, we're going to pray, and then these guys are going to lead us in some tracks, and we're going